Song Travels explores the journey singers and songs take together. Support for Song Travels comes from NPR and NPR member stations.
Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is vocalist and extraordinary actress, Elaine Stritch, a veteran of Broadway known for her roles in such shows as Stephen Sondheim's Company and the 1952 revival of Pal Joey. But in 2002, her one-woman show, Elaine Stritch at Liberty, won a Tony Award. She also won 3 Emmys, including one for her role as Alec Baldwin's mother on the sitcom 30 Rock. After over 70 years in New York, she's retiring to Michigan, so it's a great honor to have her in the studio today. Elaine, welcome to Song Travels.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
Some people, Elaine, might not know you from musical theater, but might know you from television because of your iconic appearances on a number of shows, including 30 Rock. Would you speak about the experience of working with an ensemble like that and Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin?
I loved it particularly because of Alec, because this is one fine actor.
And you played his mother.
Yeah. And we just walked out on the set and hopefully knew our lines and went at it. And it just was a natural working with Alex.
Ever have any improvisation?
A little bit, but we stuck most of the script. She's a pretty good writer to turn your back on.
She's incredible. It always seemed to me, and I could be imagining this, that she would change things in the moment as they happen on the set.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of her quickness
and her
total immersion and understanding of character.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, oh, I love that show. And it came just in time. It kept me in front of the public eye, and a fun show, an up show, a new kind of show. It was wonderful. And I think Tina thinks I'm difficult, and she's got every right to. I don't mean to be, but I'll listen if you tell me what to do, and you're right, I'll do it. I really want to be heard from. I have to relax. I can't act if I don't believe in what I'm doing.
Exactly. What you do comes out of a complete immersion in the character, and if it isn't authentic to you, you can't do it.
I can't do it.
And that might be perceived as being difficult, but you always have a reason for
absolutely
what you do, and for your motivation.
Right, right, right.
So when you came to New York, were your desires to work in musical theater or dramatic theater? What were your aspirations?
I had no idea what I was going to do. I had no idea what I should do, would do, could do. I've made my way, and I'm okay. I'm okay.
One of the first things you did in New York was... Is it Angels in the Wings?
Angels
in the Wings. Was that a book show or a musical review?
Oh, it was a musical review, which is the hardest thing in the world to do. Anybody will tell you that.
What was the process of putting together something like a musical review?
I don't know. I don't know what I was doing. It's my first show. And we had a good director, Hank Ladd. He was wonderful. And I was doing sketches. I was the girl that Paul Hartman ran behind the couch with, you know, to kiss while Grace wasn't looking. Sketches.
Since we're talking about musical reviews, you brought back a number of your Broadway hits in your one-woman show, Elaine Stritch at Liberty.
Yeah.
One of the songs you reprised was Civilization from Angels in the Wings, and I'd love to play it now from your 2002 live recording at Liberty. Here it is, Civilization.
Each morning a missionary advertised with neon sign. He tell a native population that civilization is fine. And to the educated savages to holler from a bamboo tree. That civilization is the thing for me to see. Bongo, 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 I don't wanna leave the Congo. Oh no, 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 no. Bingo, bango, bongo, I saw Hoppy in the jungle, I refuse to go. Don't want no bright lights, false teeth, doorbells, landlords, I make it clear. No matter how the cooks speak, I stay right here.
That's Civilization, introduced by Elaine Stritch on Broadway in 1947?
I came to New York in 43, and I was in that show about 2 years later, 45, something like that.
Well, that's a song that I had known growing up, and I never knew that you introduced it. There was no original cast recording of that at the time.
Well, no, and there was a strike on and we weren't able to record it.
Weren't able to make a record.
Shame. Yeah. Huh.
Now, what are the shows that you've done that has achieved a cult following because of the album is Goldilocks.
Aha. Uh-huh. Good
that
album.
Great recording.
Yeah.
Wonderful score.
Yeah.
What happened with the show?
Agnes DeMille. And I think she's a brilliant talent, but she didn't know how to do that. She didn't know how to direct us. And Walter Kerr was not a director.
Agnes DeMille, who changed Broadway with the ballets in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And yet by this
all
time,
the emphasis went on dance, yeah. dance, little lady. Jesus, it was it was a Walter and Jean Kerr book, and it was funny stuff. Mm. You didn't need to have choreography up the wazoo, you know. You had to have it was just wrong. Mm. Noel Coward set everybody straight. He came up and saw the show and said, "The leading lady is fantastic, and she's in drinking a scotch in her dressing room in tears." So Coward wanted to look into that, and as a result, he wrote a musical for me. So it was my lucky night, I'm telling you.
Hmm. That ain't too shabby.
No, it ain't too shabby, is right. So I was a lucky girl. And that's what I did. You know, Michael, here's what I did. I wanted to be a top-notcher on Broadway. And I came to New York, and I devoted my whole life to it, and I accomplished it.
It's pretty incredible.
And I became a great big Broadway star. And then I had the fortune, the extreme fortune, the almost burst into tears kind of, my God, how lucky can you get? Noel Coward thought I was great, and he put me in a musical. Hal Prince did the same thing. George Abbott did the same. Jesus, when I look back, retrospect is scary. I'm so lucky, so fortunate.
It's also lucky that we have these recordings.
Oh,
that,
my God.
That you can hear
Isn't
them.
Isn't it the truth? Isn't it the truth?
Yeah. Let's listen to I Never Know When to Say When from Goldilocks.
Great ballad written by Leroy Anderson.
Well, here it is. I Never Know When to Say When.
Okay.
I knew on the day I met him, he wasn't the man for me. I knew I should just forget him, but I had to wait and see. Oh, I've been sad before, and I've been had before, but oh, my friend, I won't pretend it was as bad before. I should have told my heart to stop and count ten, but then I never know when to say when.
That's a beautiful piece. Leroy Anderson, who wrote the music to that, is best known as having written orchestral miniatures that the Boston Pops premiered, like Blue Tango
Absolutely.
And The Syncopated Clock. And
absolutely.
He wrote one Broadway musical, and it's a shame that he didn't write more.
Yes, it is.
You were in a number of shows that we now regard as classic, but when you were approached by Hal Prince to do Company, had you retired or had you decided to stop performing for a while? I seem to recall that in an interview with the New York Times, perhaps you had said that that nobody was smarter than you when it came to Broadway, and you wanted to work with someone who was smarter than you, and you couldn't
Always.
Find that. And Hal Prince called you, and he said, "I'm smarter than you."
Oh, absolutely.
Is that true?
Oh, absolutely.
And then you did Company.
Yeah. There's no reason to work with anybody that isn't smarter than you. I mean, you can coast and drift and do this show and this show, but I want to be better because of that show.
The Ladies Who Lunch is something that is probably the most famous piece that is connected with you. Has the way you interpret the song evolved or changed through the years?
No. No, it's the same as it always has been. I understand that song. I understood it, and I understand it. And Michael, Stephen gets so excited when an artist understands what he wrote and interprets it the way he thinks it should be interpreted.
Well, let's listen to The Ladies Who Lunch from the original cast recording of Company, written by Stephen Sondheim and directed by Hal Prince.
I'd like to propose a toast. Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch on their own behalf. Off to the gym, then to a fitting, claiming their fat. And looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat.
Oh, I never fail to get a thrill when I hear that recording, when I hear you perform it.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
It's something that always galvanizes my insides in a certain way every single time.
Isn't that great? That's a real compliment coming from you, coming from anybody. Come on, you know?
In your show,
yes,
At Liberty,
yes,
at the end of it, you sing a song that is so sweet. It's something that I'd like to play now as a...
Oh, good. What is it?
It's Rodgers and Hammerstein. It's called Something Good.
Oh, yes. I heard that song. I had never seen... I had never seen The Sound of Music.
Really?
And I thought, oh, that's very square, movie, ha, ha, ha. And I had moved to Sag Harbor, and I was all alone on Christmas Eve, and I turned on The Sound of Music. I said, I'm going to watch this, Mother. And I turned it on. Wonderful.
It got you.
One got me. And she got me. And then I heard her sing, Perhaps I Had a Wicked Childhood. I said, that's the finale of Elaine Stritch at Liberty. And it was.
Let's listen to it right now.
Okay.
Something Good.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Perhaps I had a wicked childhood. Perhaps I had a miserable youth. But somewhere in my wicked, miserable past, there must have been a moment of truth. For here you are, there you are, loving me. Whether or not you should, somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. Good night, and thank you all so very much.
That's our guest, Elaine Stritch, performing Something Good. You clearly believe in those words. They clearly mean something to you.
Oh, indeed. What a feeling in this business. If you come to New York to make good, and you do, it is a satisfaction and a feeling that you really are bringing some joy to a lot of people. I like my career. I'm proud of it.
I think that people connect with you because they know that there is no artifice about who you are or what you do, and people care about you because we all see a little bit of ourselves.
That's lovely. That's such a compliment.
You're a great artist, and I really appreciate this time with you. Thank you for sharing stories about your life, your work, and your creative process.
I sure did enjoy it.
To hear the full Song Travels broadcast, tune in to your NPR station. Visit npr.org to find the station in your area. Song Travels is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. Learn more about the artists and music on the series by visiting our website, scetv.org/songtravels.